Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 11, which you can find on page 947 in your pew Bibles. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're a soldier, you seldom have the entire picture. You seldom have the big picture in view. If you're a foot soldier, you probably have a very narrow job description. And you just need to do whatever it is that's given to you. You don't need to know the bigger plan. You don't need to know what your commander knows, what the general knows, what the commander-in-chief knows. You just need to know what the job is that's in front of you. And in fact, you can often get yourselves into lots of trouble if you imagine that you know what the big plan is and you begin to think that whatever's in front of you isn't the right thing to do. No, if you're a soldier, you just got to do your job. You just have to put one foot in front of the other and do what's in front of you. If you're one who is taking orders, that's how it works. If you're an animal, a stock animal, if you're an oxen that's going to pull a plow or a horse that's going to pull a carriage, or a sheep that is going to slaughter, all that matters is that you put one foot in front of the other. You don't really need to know the big plan. And in fact, if you think you know the big plan, you might ruin everything. That's the way it often works in hierarchies. That's the way it works for soldiers. That's the way it works for animals. But that is not how it works among friends. And Jesus has called you friends. And that means the story is a little bit different for you. He actually wants you to know the big picture. He wants you to know the whole story. He wants you to know what he's about. Not because he wants you to say that you think this is a good idea or this is a bad idea. Not because he wants you to be disobedient and not do what's given to you. But he wants you to know what you're headed for. He wants you to know what his goal is. Imagine that you walked upon somebody who was pruning a tree, cutting off branches of a tree. You might think they were out of their minds. Paul uses this example, right, of an olive tree that has its branches lopped off and other branches grafted in. If you saw somebody lopping off branches from a tree, your first reaction might be, this guy is out of his mind. He's killing the branches. They have green leaves on them. He's cutting them off. He's going to destroy the tree. That's what you might think, unless you knew that his goal is to put in some different branches. That those branches that he's cutting off, they are unfruitful branches. They're not bearing any fruit. They're taking up space, and they're bringing the whole thing down, and so they need to be lopped off, and other branches need to be grafted in so that the tree can be fruitful. If you know that that's what he's doing, then all of a sudden, it makes sense. It doesn't make it any less painful, I don't think. To see him lopping off the natural branches, that's always painful to see. But at least you know why. And if you trust him, you know that this is going to work out for the best. You know that he's going to accomplish his goals. That's what Paul is setting for you today, setting before you today. He's giving you this picture of how God is at work in the world. And the picture is more complicated than we might have imagined. It's a picture of a tree that had natural branches that were not bearing fruit. These are God's people, the people of the Old Testament, the children of Abraham according to the flesh. And God lopped them off. He laid them aside to make room for you and for me. They were unfruitful branches, and he wanted to invite in the Gentiles. He wanted to invite to his feast those who were not originally invited, those who were hiding in the highways and in the hedges, those who needed to be compelled to come in, those who didn't belong in the feast. He wanted to invite them along. That's you and that's me. And Paul says, this is the big picture. This is why all of history has happened. This is why God called Abraham. This is why God gave him an offspring. This is why he grew the 12 tribes of Israel, why he rescued them from Egypt, why he gave them King David and King Solomon, why the kingdom split and he sent them off into exile. It's why all of that happened. It's why Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. It was so that he could have a fruitful tree, so that he could have people who were fruitful for him. And this involves some cutting. It involves lopping off the natural branches, grafting in new branches. But Paul's pointing out today that the hope is, in the long run, that some of those natural branches that got cut off, they will get grafted back in. That the mercy God has shown to you and to me is mercy that he will also show to some of his people who had wandered away, the children of Israel by flesh, that they would also become jealous for the affection of God, that they would remember how gracious God was to them, how he'd rescued them through the Red Sea, and they would come back to him. And in this way, Paul says, all of Israel will be saved. That's God's goal, that all of Israel will be saved. Not an Israel according to the flesh, not that God would save all of the children of Abraham by birth, but that all of God's chosen people would be saved. God is not going to lose a single one of those whom he has chosen. And that's his big plan. That's the big picture. That's what he wants you to see, so that when you see the people of Israel wandering away into idolatry, or when you see in your own heart doubts and concerns about what's in front of you, those clouds that are looming overhead, you can remember what God is about, what he is busy with. He doesn't want you to just have blind faith and obedience. He wants you to see. And what he wants you to see is that everything he is doing is for your good. You are not in the dark about God's plans and purposes. He wants mercy for all. He wants all of his wandering children home. He knows the sorry condition of our hearts, and he wants to cure it. And so, whatever he does is for that purpose. It might not always make sense to us. Just as you walk upon somebody who's lopping off branches from a tree, it might not make sense at first glance how that can possibly help. It might not make sense at first glance how the suffering you encounter, the afflictions that you endure, the sickness and the disease and the weariness, even the lingering sin in your heart, it may not make any sense to you how all of that can be for this good purpose, but God has promised. He has said it is the case, and that is where faith comes in. Not just sort of wondering what God is up to. You know what he's up to, but you have to believe that he's the one who is taking you there, that he's the one who's rescuing you from sin and from death. It's something that has been revealed from the foundation of the world. It was revealed in Genesis chapter 3 when God told the serpent that an offspring would be born who would crush his head. We have known from the beginning what God is up to. There is no mystery about what God is doing in your life. That's not the mystery. It's clear what God is doing in your life. He's redeeming you. He's sanctifying you. He's filling you with his Spirit. He's leading you into repentance, teaching you to trust in him. He's purging you of your sins. It's clear what God is doing. How he does it, the tools that he uses, the methods that he employs, they might seem strange and difficult to us, but what he is up to, that is clear as day. The mystery is that God accomplishes all of this in spite of us. In spite of the contingencies of history, how everything seems to just be random and chaotic, God accomplishes all of this for our good. This is what Paul marvels at in the end. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? It's not ours to peer into God's methods. But we can rest easy in this, that he's told us his purpose. He's told us what he wants for us. He wants to give us life. He wants to give us his spirit. He wants to free us from sin. And he wants to make us his children to live in his home eternally, where we are safe and secure at long last. That's where he's taken you. Rest easy. He's a God who keeps his promises. And what he has said, he will surely do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.